Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make Him known.
The New Testament lesson for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. This can be found on page 1147 of your pew Bible. This reading from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth reminds us that in Christ, the debt of our sin has been paid, and that we stand righteous before God and are messengers of that gift to others. A reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with the 17th verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thanks be to God. Today's sermon will be a little bit different than usual. I have an update to give you, an update of something going on in my own life and in the life of the church, so it's a bit of an announcement. But also, it will be like a sermon in that I hope that it builds your faith, as the story you'll hear has built my faith as well. So let me pray before we go any further. Come, Holy Spirit, descend on us, we pray. Point us to Jesus, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's in his name we pray. Amen. You may recall a few months ago, this past winter, we went through a sermon series on the book of Jonah. Jonah was a reluctant prophet. We kind of laughed together as we watched his story. God said, go. Jonah said, no. And God said, oh? And then God said, go again. And finally, God redirected Jonah from his own path and directed him onto the path that God wanted him on, to go. Well, over the last few months, I, your pastor, have been on the same journey. God has told me to go. God has given me a new call. I've been very reluctant, but he has convinced me through dreams and visions and through words, timely words that I'll tell you about in a moment. But God has given me a new call to become the dean of the chapel at Hope College in Holland, Michigan, which means that my family and I will move there later this summer. It's been the privilege of a lifetime to be your pastor. I've been here for 13 years. Riley and Eva were 1 and 3 when we moved here. It's funny to me that we were just doing a diaper drive because Eva was in diapers when we got here. But I do want to tell you the story of how this call has come in my life because I do think that it will build your faith as it has built mine. So some of you know that I'm on the board of trustees of Hope College, which means I'm very involved there, obviously. And last fall, I was there for the October board meeting, and we learned that the previous dean of the chapel, who'd been there for 18 years, was leaving. And I had somebody pull me aside at that meeting and ask, Nathan, will you pursue this job? This makes sense for you. And I said, absolutely not. No way. I can't do it. I have this awesome church in Connecticut. My kids are at the age where you're not supposed to uproot them and move schools. And we're raising money and we bought a building for this Stanford expansion. The timing is terrible. No, I can't possibly do it. And I kind of forgot about it, honestly. Then I went back to the January board meeting, back to Hope College, and was asked again, Nathan, will you pursue this? And I was told at that time that there were 147 applicants who had applied for the position of dean of the chapel. So I thought, praise the Lord, there's got to be a good person in that pool. I'm off the hook. Well, the person who asked me in January if I was going to pursue the job, and I said, same answer, no, timing's bad. The person said, have you prayed about this? And I said, honestly, I don't even need to. And the person looked at me with their head tilted, and they said, you might want to pray, Pastor. So I felt convicted by that and decided I would pray. And I flew from there to the Men's Vermont weekend for the church men's retreat. And I was sitting that first night at the weekend, and I was in my small group with my guys at the retreat. And these are some of the guys I'm closest to in the church. I just love these guys. I was looking at their faces, and there was a new guy in our group. And I looked at that, and I looked around, and in the back of my mind, because I had told the person I was going to pray, I said, thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. Look at these guys. I can't leave these guys. I can't leave this church. Thanks for answering my prayer. And I heard God say in the back of my mind, Nathan, that wasn't the prayer. So I said, okay, Lord, here's a prayer. Do you want me to apply to the position of Dean of the Chapel of Hope College? And as soon as I was praying that, I felt this giant, the best way I can describe it is as if all capital letters, the word yes, started screaming out of my chest. And I was honestly confused by that because I thought my argument was pretty good. I can't leave Stanwich Church. I'm mission critical to this whole thing we got going on here. But yet he was talking to me. And then in February, you may recall that I asked the congregation to fast and to pray on February 29, a bonus day in the year, a leap day. And so many of you fasted and prayed with me that day. And Hope College had also been asked to fast and pray on that day. The president of the college had asked the whole campus community to fast and to pray, to seek the Lord's leading on who would become the next dean of the chapel. We were fasting and praying as well. I think it was beautiful that both bodies were seeking the Lord at the same time. Well, that night, the night of the fast, you may recall there were high-speed winds, 55-mile-an-hour winds. I was awake the whole night. And I had a haunting suspicion that the Lord was speaking to me that night. And I kept asking him, Lord, did you send this wind? And then I felt a little selfish because I was realizing how many trees were going to be down across the region. And I was like, Lord, this is a dramatic production just to talk to one person. But finally, it felt like I was in a Holy Spirit vortex the whole night. And finally, I decided, you know what? I'm in God's office right now. I'm just going to talk to him. I need to get really real right now with this. So I got really bold and really specific. And I said, Lord, did you send this wind? Because you're calling me to be the dean of the chapel at Hope College. And I felt that yes come out of my chest again. And I had peace come over my body and I fell asleep. And I went to Bible study the next day with my men's Bible study, and we were in Jonah. And my eyes landed immediately on Jonah 1, verse 4. And it says, the Lord sent a great wind. A wind that redirected Jonah from the path he thought he should be on to the path God put him on. And I knew in that moment, I had received a call through a mighty rushing wind and through the still small voice of his word. And I knew very clearly in that moment what God was doing because I had felt that two other times in my life. One in 1986 when I was 7 years old, when God called me to be a pastor. And the other time was in 2011 when I got called to come be a pastor at this church. I was still confused though. And to be really honest with you, this is embarrassing, but I still kept arguing with God, telling him, God, one of the elders recently said, Nathan, your timing stinks. And I said, I agree. That's what I've been saying to the Lord too. It's not my timing. And I've been arguing this with God. My kids are in school. We're doing the Stanford thing here at church. Timing doesn't make sense in a worldly sense. But God started sending dreams and visions, very clear, from people who didn't even know what was going on. God's been speaking through his Holy Spirit through multiple dreams and visions. Even with the dreams and visions still coming, I've been saying to the Lord, I can't do this. The timing's off. I don't want to leave Stanwich Church. This is the best church in the world. Nancy and I are convinced of that. We have visited a lot of other churches, and there's nothing in us that wants to leave this church, nothing. So we're grieving. And I've been arguing with God. And I was arguing with him one week in March, and I had a pretty good case I was throwing onto the desk of God. And I was saying, Lord, don't you see the fruit? I mean, look at this church. It's growing. We have standing room only at the 1045. We're baptizing more people than we've baptized before. We had baptisms on Easter. Did you see that, Lord? We have people donating generously and sacrificially for Stamford, their time, their talent, and their treasure. We're united. We're aligned as a church. Lord, see the fruit. Don't you see the fruit? And I must have said the word fruit 100 times in my prayer. And I thought it was a pretty good argument. And then one night, a Wednesday night, my son Riley, my 16-year-old son, was here at youth group at church. And he was coming home, and I remember it really clearly. I was on the patio outside, and he was heading off to bed because he was really tired. He had run like 8 miles that day for track. He had that look on his face like, put me to bed. And he was heading off, but he stopped, and he turned to me, and he goes, "Oh, Daddy, God gave me a word for you." And he pulled a piece of paper out of his pocket that he had gotten from Craig and Lauren, and it was John 15. And John 15, verse 2, my son read it to me. And it's Jesus speaking, and he says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, I throw away. But every branch in me that does bear fruit, I prune so that it can bear more fruit." And Riley looked at me, and he said, "God told me you needed to hear that." And he went off to bed. I was like, man, Lord, you took away my best argument. But that was such an important and timely word in addition to the dreams and visions. And I'm interpreting that word, which I believe is from God through my son, in two significant ways that I want you to hear. I think God is pruning me from this branch that's bearing fruit because he wants to bear more fruit in my life and in yours. In my life, because I'm going to be going to a college where there's 3,300 students who I will be able to share the same gospel that I've been sharing with you for 13 years. That's more fruit, college students. This Ambassadors of Reconciliation passage that we're reading today, if you know anything about what's going on college campuses right now, especially college campuses, this is my call for the next few years, however long I'm there. We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. This ambassadorship of reconciliation is needed on college campuses. I believe that God's going to bear fruit in me there. But I also believe, and this is very important, I want you to hear this. This is something that the Lord's been really showing me over the last 2 weeks especially, that God is pruning me from this church so that you can bear more fruit too. This is a surprise. It feels a little bit like punching people in the gut when I share what I've just shared. By the way, I gave the baptism family a heads up this was happening today, so they are not so surprised. Thank you for doing this today with us. But I believe that this church is going to bear more fruit. I believe that if God has been speaking to me as clearly as he has been through dreams and visions and timely words, I believe that he is also speaking to your next senior pastor, whether that person knows it or not. And I believe that he can speak to all of you as well. And I believe that he's saying to this entire congregation, now go bear more fruit. Do you see the pruning that I'm doing? Now bear more fruit. This church is not about one personality. This church is not about the senior pastor. We know that. Some of you have been around long enough that you've seen multiple senior pastors come and go. I said a few weeks ago, there was a new couple who asked me what it's like to be the pastor here. Remember what I said? I said, it's like riding a wave. The wave is the power of the Holy Spirit upon this church. I've had my turn on the surfboard, riding that wave, but the next person who comes is going to have a ride on that same power, that Holy Spirit energy, that wave, that you all have the privilege of continuing to ride on. We will greatly miss that. I don't know how we're ever going to find another church like this. We're grieving that very deeply. But you get to continue to enjoy the ride of that wave of God's Holy Spirit power. I want you to know something else, too. There's some questions after the first service. I'll get really specific here. That our last Sunday, or at least my last Sunday, will be July 28. So we've got some time to be together. And I also want you to know this. Some of you have been in churches where the pastor leaves, and you know that sometimes what can happen is there's these parking lot conversations where people say, like, "Oh, I know the real story." Yeah, and they make up some story. I'm telling you, church, I've just told you the real story. Amen. Embarrassingly, I've been the Jonah in this journey. I have not wanted to go. I was not looking. There is no scandal. There is no other or true story. You've heard the true story today. So just put all those other ideas to bed. There's one story that I heard even between services saying, oh, Nathan, you have family in Michigan. This makes sense for you. You must have been itching to get back to Michigan. See, they just made up that story. It sounds kind of true because I do love Michigan. I have family there, but that's not the real story. We've been reluctant. We were settled here. We had decided over the last year, okay, Lord, keep us here as long as you want us to be here. We thought we might retire in Michigan someday, but we were committed. So God has spoken, and we are being obedient to the voice of God. If we were following our own intuition and our own worldly wisdom, we would not be leaving. We would be staying right here with you. Just wanted you to know all of that. You probably have questions on your mind about next steps for the church. I want you to know that the elders have been working very hard since I shared this with them. What was amazing, we had a two-hour meeting when I shared with them what I just shared with you. And the elders just, obviously they got the gut punch in the first 15 minutes, but then they just started rising in faith and rising in stewardship of this church and getting to work and rolling up their sleeves and figuring out what comes next to keep the momentum going here in Greenwich and in Stamford. And I'm telling you, I'm excited for the future of this church. I really am. There are leaders out there who know what to do next in the Stamford thing better than I do. So I'm excited for who God's going to supply. But to the end of what the elders are working on, I want to invite up Laura Laspaluto on behalf of the elders. She's going to talk just for a couple of minutes before we go to the communion table about what the next steps are. Welcome, Laura.
You'd think it would be easier doing this the second time, but it's not. In Romans, Paul writes to encourage a church there. And this is what he says. And we know that for those who love God, that's us, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose. That's us. God, in his sovereignty and great love, works in all circumstances to produce good. And he's doing that now, both for Hope College and for Stanwich. It's obvious to us how that's happening at Hope College. They're going to have Nathan guiding and leading and equipping the students there, and that's all the good you could ever ask for. And because God is faithful, we believe that he will bless Stanwich with greater faith, greater impact, and more abundant fruit in this new chapter of our history. But at this moment, we can't yet see exactly how God is going to do that. We can't see how God will use this for his glory and to build his kingdom. Right now, if you're like me, all we know is that our beloved pastor is leaving, and that is really hard. Nathan has loved us well, and we hope that we have done the same for him. But at the same time, we know that God will work this for the good of Stanwich and for the good of his kingdom. How can I say this with confidence? I can be confident because God has been faithful to this church since 1731. He has been faithful through pastors coming and going. He has been faithful through lightning hitting the chapel. He has been faithful in building this building. He has been faithful in getting us through a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. He's not going to stop now. And so even though we're feeling loss, we can be confident that we will see the work of God. We can be confident that the arrival or departure of any one person will not thwart his purposes for his church. So in the meantime, we have to address some practical matters. The Board of Elders has been seeking God's guidance earnestly and will continue to do so throughout the process of finding a new senior pastor. And we are very grateful that God has blessed the elders with unity, with clarity, and with gratitude for his provision. So first, we are forming a search committee to find and select our new senior pastor. And we will keep you informed on the progress of this process. Next, the elders decided that until a new senior pastor is hired, we need to add an interim pastor to our ministry team. The elders decided on this course of action because of another consideration. It's possible that Pastor David will be called upon by the Army in the near future. So if this happens, that would leave us with only one ordained pastor, Pastor Heather, only one ordained pastor to do all the communions, all the weddings, all the baptisms, all the funerals, in addition to her other roles. And as amazing as Pastor Heather is, that's really more than one person can be expected to do. So we determined we needed to have an interim who could perform some of those roles, and ideally an interim who was familiar to us and who we trusted. So at our annual meeting on June 10th, this is another reason to make sure you're there. At the annual meeting on June 10th, we will put forth the name of Chuck Davis, our former senior pastor, to serve as an interim pastor. He's been very gracious to serve in this capacity during the interim, but he will not be a candidate for the permanent senior pastor position. Some of you know that Chuck is currently serving as the interim pastor at another congregation in Westchester County, and his desire is to finish well in that assignment before beginning at Stanwich, and we want to honor that. So he will join us in the second half of July. If the congregation approves his appointment at the annual meeting, another reason to be there, Chuck will be working part-time alongside Pastor Heather and our amazing ministry staff to lead worship, to provide pastoral care, and to steward the Stamford Project. And this last one is particularly important because 10 years ago, God gave Chuck the vision for Stamford, and now he's going to see it bear fruit. Pastor Heather will take on additional responsibility, including managing the staff and day-to-day operations as pastor of Care and Connection and staff lead. There are still lots of questions to be answered and decisions to be made, and the elders have committed to making the process as transparent as possible and to communicating early and often with you. For today, if you have questions, and I suspect you do, the elders will be available after the service to answer any questions or just to pray with you if you'd like. There are elders who are present here. I've asked them to stand so you know who we are and you know who to talk to if you are so moved. So take a look around and see who elders are, and we will be in the front of the sanctuary after the service. And if in the days to come you want to talk to us, and I suspect you might, we can be reached through the church website. So I've talked about what we're doing. I want to talk about what you're going to do and what you can do. The first thing is to seek God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your spirit, to seek him more fervently than you ever have in the past. You can pray for his wisdom. You can pray for his peace. You can pray for him to give you the desire to want him more. And you can pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you with his power, to fill you with his fire, to fill you with his love for the church, for this church, and for each other. So God is doing a new thing. God is doing a good thing at Hope College and at Stanwich. And as we heard Nathan say, God is building our faith, and he's preparing us for an abundant harvest. To God be the glory.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.